I want to take a moment to recognize one of our sponsors. One of the wealth strategy secrets of the ultra wealthy is that they make more income and grow their net worth every year and legally pay less in taxes. They also grow their capital when markets go up, down, and sideways. They grow their capital in economies that grow and boom, and in economies that are in recessions and even depressions. If you are a high-income earner and trying to figure out how to legally reduce your taxes while receiving cash flow and growing your capital, Pantheon Investments have a great opportunity right now. By leveraging Pantheon Investments' holistic wealth strategy and its exclusive relationships, you can access an opportunity right now in oil and gas. This opportunity will help W-2 earners to legally reduce taxes, generate cash flow, and grow their capital. This exclusive opportunity will also position you to be on the right side of rising oil and gas prices. This is a limited offering available to accredited investors only. To learn more, go to cashflowninja.com/Pantheon. That's cashflowninja.com/Pantheon. Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create and grow income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Are you tired of trading your time for money? Do you desire freedom today instead of retirement in 10, 20, or 30 years? I'm MC Lobsher, and this is the Cashflow Ninja. This is Cashflow Ninja. I'm MC Lobsher. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Cashflow Ninja podcast. Everything Cashflow Ninja is at cashflowninja.com. That's cashflowninja.com. And don't forget to sign up for our newsletter at cashflowninja.com/subscribe. I've got a fantastic show for you today. Fantastic guest, my friend, Dave Walcott from Pantheon Investments. With me is Dave Walcott from Pantheon Investments. Dave is a great friend and one of the people that I look to in the world of alternative investments and money, finance, and wealth strategy. I always learn a lot from our conversations and really, really appreciate every time I spend some time with Dave. Dave, great to have you back on the show.
Hey, grateful to be here, MC, and connect with the community again.
Absolutely. So for folks not familiar with Dave Walcott, he's been on the Cashflow Ninja podcast before. I would highly recommend, because we've got a lot of new listeners and viewers, go to cashflowninja.com, type in Dave Walcott, and you'll get to listen to the previous conversations that we had that I think is extremely valuable. I mean, I still remember one of our previous episodes, we talked about vision and that incredible vision that you set for your life. And then you executed on it. Spoiler alert, it's like having a place in Italy to go to for a retreat. That's what your life wanted. You wanted your life to look like. And then you executed. And now, you know, you just came back from your place in Italy. So highly recommend you listen to the past episodes. But for new folks, if you could just share a little bit about your background and what you're up to these days.
Yeah, absolutely, MC. Appreciate that. You know, I think basically what we're focused on is really empowering entrepreneurs to really create an alternative wealth strategy that's outside of the gyrations of the stock markets. And our investment thesis really goes to identifying assets that will be tax efficient, that will provide predictable cash flow, as well as have a lucrative upside on the back end. So really, it's all about protecting and multiplying your wealth and using the strategies of the ultra wealthy, right? That's what we're focused on. And those are the secrets they've known for years, right? And we're trying to identify exclusive access to some of these top assets with operator partners that we have around the country.
Absolutely. And you share a ton of those strategies too. Just wanted to give a plug for your great podcast, which I had a lot of fun being on, interviewed on. Where, what can folks look up?
Absolutely. It's Wealth Strategy Secrets of the Ultra Wealthy.
Fantastic. So today we're talking about a very, very interesting niche, and it's one of the featured niches in the 21 Best Cashflow Niches, my book in energy, and more specifically, oil and gas. So let's start with a macro conversation on this of what's going on in the world, and then where this fits into, and some, you know, just some insights and ideas that you have around this niche.
Yeah, absolutely, MC. So I think really, again, when we think about our investment thesis, we're really looking for a three-dimensional type investment, right? Like we talked about, something that has tax efficiency, something that has that passive income stream, and then you also get an equity multiple in the end, right? And so I think most of the listeners here are familiar with, you know, real estate opportunities, right, predominantly, because that fits that mold really quite well. Now, I've invested in oil and gas many years ago in different types of forms. And, you know, typically the way you can get into oil and gas is you're really buying the revenue stream, right? It's an oil producing well. So you're getting access to some revenue that you can bring in. Now, what's interesting is a lot of people don't realize that when you invest in oil and gas, just like our friend Tom Wheelwright taught us, we're trying to be partners with the government as investors, right? So by investing in energy, in the energy sector, right, we're actually able to get a deduction against our AGI or our W-2 income or active income or basically any income that you have, right, which is really huge because most real estate investments, you know, you're only able to offset your passive income. So in this case, we can actually offset 100% depreciation, and they actually call it depletion, in the oil sector, because you're depleting a quantified amount of reserves, right, that are available. So so that's one, you know, extremely lucrative benefit, right, of investing into this sector. And then as we kind of talk about from a macro standpoint, you know, we love to be involved in assets that are non-correlated to, you know, traditional stock markets, right? That we're not having those gyrations. We, you know, we can sleep at night and things like that. And we're watching, you know, where the puck is going, right? So if you do look at the macro sense, everyone on this podcast is quite sure you've been filling up your car the past year. You know how expensive fuel is. If you jump on an airplane, you've seen tickets rise tremendously. We know where inflation is heading right now, right? Which is, you know, we're at some of the most extraordinary highs, right? And if you look at from a, you know, so a global supply and demand perspective, the demand for petroleum-based products is just continually expanding. And I think a lot of people don't realize, and I'm constantly learning myself, but really, you know, petroleum-based products are really at the heart of so many of the things that we have. The shampoo you use, you know, every day in your hair, you know, multitudes of different products that it's used for. And then there's also this natural gas component, which is actually also kind of an uncorrelated hedge, right, in this opportunity where nat gas is, you know, it's actually just recently in Europe, they designated it as a clean energy source, which is huge, right? And Europe right now is being squeezed out of natural gas because of the current war going on, right, with Russia. And that's where Europe gets the majority of their gas. So so gas prices, it's been trending around $8 to $9 right now, and it used to be about $2. So it has been going way, way up, and there is a huge shortage. So we'd love to invest in asset classes where, again, you have a huge shortage on the supply side, and then the demand continues to grow. And this is, you know, this also helps you, you know, hedge against all these other uncontrollable risks, you know, such as, you know, the actual price of oil, or let's just say, you know, political ramifications, things that could impact that. When you have the supply and demand, you know, heading really favorably, you're on the right side of the equation.
Yeah, there, you know what's been fascinating from a macro perspective? So, and I love how you close it out, supply and demand. And that's essentially what you need to look at as an investor. So if you look at, you know, on the, if you, well, let's just start on the money side, right? Because if you want to control people, you control the food. If you want to control countries, you control oil. And if you want to control the world, you control money. So let's talk about oil and money. But if you start with the money, we saw this massive increase in the currencies of everyone around the world since 2020, right? So there's been a massive, massive, massive oversupply of currencies. And then on the, you know, so usually when there's an increase in the supply of currencies, it chases the same amount of goods. So you start to see the prices of goods and services increase. But what I find fascinating is you've basically seen a destruction of supply. And there's many ways that it's been done. I mean, just look at, you're in the United States. The United States was energy independent at one stage. And then within the course of a couple of months and after a change in administration, all of a sudden they were no longer energy independent. There was a lot of pipelines shut down, a lot of leases canceled on federal lands and so forth. So that already started to put pressure on this balance, right? Because the demand for oil is, like you just mentioned, petroleum products. Most people don't realize this. Everything that we see, everything physical, is packaged. What is in packaging? It's petroleum products. It's bubble wrap. It's tape. It's, you know, all these other things that they use. So there's this massive demand for petroleum products. There's an increase of currency supply, and now you've got a destruction of supply of these oil and gas products, and then. To throw something else on top of this, a war started in the Ukraine with the Russians invading the Ukraine. And it happens to be that that's the part of the world that produces an incredible amount of oil and gas and commodities that's needed to create and manufacture other things like fertilizer and so forth. So you've got like the perfect storm on a supply and a demand, which produces a massive asymmetric kind of opportunity, essentially, right? So you've got a destruction of supply. The demand is still there. And, you know, you can't have this conversation without saying that, yes, politically, globally, this ESG stuff is being forced down everyone's throats. I mean, you could see it everywhere. So it's the environmental, it's societal and governance kind of points, which organizations get scored on. So that leads to fossil fuels being bad, scoring lower in ESG. So there's a lot more, less capital flowing into that. So yeah, there's a political climate of it too, of basically they want to go away from fossil fuels, which reduce this, but the demand is still there. And the gap is, if you want to move from fossil fuels to, let's just say, greener energy, there's no infrastructure for greener energy. You could be 15 to 20 years away from folks inside of the industry, you know, inside of the world of energy, saying before you have something that could potentially supply not even the entire world with quote unquote greener sources of energy, right? So that's why we have the natural gas being classified as clean energy again in Europe, because they don't have enough energy. So there's a massive imbalance. There's a massive distortion in the marketplace. There's a disconnect between price and value. And there's a massive asymmetric opportunity with the supply and demand ratios in this energy space. So I see it as an enormous opportunity for oil and gas investors to you know, put themselves on the right side of these trends, because unfortunately, you know, as we've seen, the prices just increase and increase. There's a lot of folks that are going to get hit pretty hard and quite frankly suffer because of all the rising costs. I want to take a moment to recognize one of our sponsors. My friend Dave Zook says, You can be conventional or you can be wealthy. Pick one. At The Real Asset Investor, Dave and his team bring their investors high-yield investment opportunities across several asset classes for cash flow, tax impact, and equity growth. He and his team are one of the top five ATM operators in the country, and they have an investment opportunity available to accredited investors right now in the ATM space. To learn more about their ATM funds that produce tax-free cash flow, visit therealassetinvestor.com.
Absolutely, MC. And I think, you know, there's another big contributing factor. So at the time of this recording, it's early August, right, in 2022. There are two of the largest provinces in China that are in COVID lockdown at this point in time. When they come back online, you know, sometime Q3, Q4 here, you know, the additional demand, right, for goods and services, they're going to be getting back on planes, they're going to be getting back in their cars to go to work, right, and attending offices and business and all of those types of activities. So that's also going to kind of push demand higher. So right now, we are projecting that to see oil prices around $145 by the end of the year. Again, so enjoy this lull kind of while it lasts, but prices are definitely going to be going up in the near term. And you know, another way to think about pricing, right, and with this investment, it's really interesting, is obviously we can't control the prices. So you'd say, okay, well then is that a bunch of risk, right? Because you can't control that. Could that go really low? Well, just like we do in real estate properties, where you do a sensitivity analysis, understand where your break even is, where you start to lose money. I mean, a lot of, at least our operation, you know, we're not losing money until we're below $50 a barrel, right? So there is a lot of profit in this game and in this model. And again, you know, we think prices really are only going to be going up in the future. Even if you wanted to, MC, I mean, the global infrastructure, right? So let's say we wanted to increase the output, you know, on a global basis. It's just not possible. I mean, this takes years and years, right? It starts with the geology and the exploration, and, you know, putting in, you know, different wells and the lines and all of these things that go into it. So this is years and years of creation to be able to get to, you know, certain supply levels that we're looking at.
You know, and inside of the business too, there's so many things going on, because you've got to take the oil, let's just say, out of the ground, then it has to go to refineries. And that's been a bottleneck too. There's just been one bottleneck after one bottleneck. Like even like in South Africa, you know, some of the refineries have shut down. This kind of crazy stuff provides an enormous opportunity for investors. And that's why I am very, very bullish on this. We've had friend of the show, Francis Hunt, the market sniper, he actually was also looking at, like, you know, the next 2 years, that there's a lot of traders targeting oil at around $250, you know, in a couple of years. So close to $150 a barrel by the end of this year at the time of recording, you know, is not a big number that you're just throwing out there. No, it's been fascinating to see all of these things play out. One more comment too, because a lot of folks might be wondering, well, why is there a lull now? Why has prices kind of gone down a little bit? Because the summer, if you think about it, demand actually increases in the summer in the Northern Hemisphere, especially in the United States, when there's road trips and people are traveling and vacations and so forth. Well, the president of the United States have released a lot of strategic petroleum reserves that the U.S. has onto the market to kind of, I would say, cushion the blow for consumers during the summer. And of course, I mean, there's elections coming up too. So it's part of the political kind of game, which it's just good to know why these things are happening. But that card has been played a number of times, and eventually that card will no longer be able to play. So you have an enormous demand globally that's not going away. There's no infrastructure. There's no alternative infrastructure to take over some of that demand. So you're either going to be reliant on oil, gas, nuclear, which is uranium, and coal, energy sources, or you're going to freeze your butt off in the Northern Hemisphere this winter.
Yeah, in Germany right now, wood is one of the most popular resources being purchased. Wood and wood-burning stoves so people can heat their homes in the winter. But MC, let's switch to an actual, I think there's a misnomer and dispel a certain belief out there around green energy as well.
Yep.
You know, this is really fascinating because, look, you know, I served my country in the Marine Corps. I'm as patriotic as you get, and we want to do the right thing. We believe in clean energy, right? And being green and supporting the environment, you know, we yep. have to do things. But as you actually start to, you know, look under the covers, understand, you know, how products are really produced and everything, let's just start with lithium batteries in electric cars. So the amount of petroleum that's required to actually mine lithium is absolutely massive, right? So you have these kind of, you know, solar, wind, you know, battery powered devices and this different energy coming together that's actually has to be created with petroleum based energy to create that. And there's also an issue on the back end, and we haven't really seen that just yet, is that, you know, once you're done mining, you know, the iron to create the lithium, I think the batteries are around 25 years as a lifespan. And there is nowhere to deposit those batteries, right? So we're going to start to have a glut of, you know, batteries that can't really be disposed of, you know, on the planet, which is going to create additional challenges. So if you think about, you know, battery driven power, right, for vehicles and other things. If you're thinking about solar and wind, from a wind standpoint, those turbines, right, that have to be manufactured. Again, tons of petroleum that goes into manufacturing those wind turbines to put them together. And so the actual amount of clean energy that you're getting from that product is actually about less than 30% of the petroleum energy it takes just to actually put it into place.
Yeah, what you have, right, is an You right now in this world, you have two sort of almost type of investors. You have people that live in physical reality, the 1+1=2 crowd, that if I jump up because of gravity and how the universe works, I'm going to come down. And you have a very ideological driven sort of mindset and these agendas and narratives. So to your point, and I appreciate you bringing it up, you know, growing up in Africa too, when I saw how this was presented to everyone here, the green energy thing around the world, you kind of chuckle, and you probably too, like from the things that you saw in the Middle East, you know, there was sort of this meme doing the round with Elon Musk and Tesla kind of sharing exactly what you just did, where Tesla got an ESG score of 80, which is the highest is 100, right? Which is this environmentally, societal, and governance. So it's kind of like this green sort of woke score, essentially, if you want to break it down. So Elon essentially said, you know, in this meme, he's like, well, you do know where batteries come from, right? That's inside of the Tesla cars. So batteries are manufactured from parts mined, and most of it mined in Africa. So to your point, lithium, you know, rare earth metals, you know, colombianite, tanzanite, the coltan, which is in your cell phones and all that kind of stuff too, copper. You go to any of those mines in Africa and you see what it looks like. That's not very, I mean, I'm not going to say that's going to pass as green. You know, just right. Just my opinion, right? But this is what's in there. So And to your point, when you look at the other alternatives, besides the fact how much energy is used in mining, it's a very energy intensive business, which where does it come from? How do you generate the energy to mine those things out of the ground? So it comes from those four things that we just mentioned, right? Oil, natural gas, nuclear, and coal. So, and even like, you know, to your point, the wind turbines is made from a coal byproduct. So you even need to mine coal to manufacture that. So anyway, so I'm glad we got that misnomer kind of out of the way and kind of like the idea, because it's just not based on reality. The reality is that we have an infrastructure of fossil fuels. We all like to go to more energy efficient and greener types of energy sources, but that might take years. This provides a massive asymmetric opportunity. So investors can participate in a number of ways. They can trade, for example, you know, energy type of vehicles, you know, on the equity markets, but that will only bring one thing to your strategy. That's only going to bring you, you know, appreciation and essentially capital gains in it. There's another way to invest in this space as an investor. You know, like we always like to reference the cash flow quadrant with the employee and the self-employed on the left-hand side of the quadrant and the business owner and the investor on the right-hand side. You can, as an investor, invest in this space as well. So what's the project that you currently have? And tell me a little bit more about just the project, really the team behind it and the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely, MC. So essentially, what this is, right, is we have about 138 oil producing wells currently. And when the pandemic happened and, you know, energy prices and oil was way down, right, the team was out actually purchasing land at that point. So we were able to buy land at pennies on the dollar. So in states like Wyoming, Kansas, Texas, right, Oklahoma. So about five states, we've been purchasing up all of this land, and there's about 138 wells that are actually producing. So this is not exploratory, you know, hoping that there's, you know, oil down below, right? It's called PDP, which is, you know, proven developing production, right? That means that oil is actually coming out of the ground with these wells. And the business model is to actually take these wells. And as we take in more and more investor capital, we're able to really optimize the flow on these properties, right? So we'll be able to optimize it by adding different vertical wells. We also do a lot of horizontal drilling, right? Which accesses a lot of the oil that's down really deep and really maximizes that flow. What you're trying to do is get to what they call flush production, which is where you're really getting maximum flow from the wells. So we're able to kind of, you know, start increasing the well. Right now, our fund and the assets is producing about 750 barrels per day. And as we get, we're forecasted to have about another 15 come online this year, which is going to jump us up to 2,500, maybe even 3,000 barrels per day by January, which is, you know, which is just huge. So as, you know, we add more equity, we add a little bit more debt, we can keep going and buying new assets, new wells, which drives more production. And then what's super unique about this opportunity is, you know, not only have you gotten the opportunity to take advantage of the tax benefits and the cash flow that's coming out, right, which we're forecasting at about 20%. Right now on an annualized basis that's paid monthly. But in addition to that, we're actually taking these assets and then we're pooling them up and selling them in a series of divestitures. So much like you would do with a multifamily real estate asset, you're driving value into the property, right? And then you're selling in 3 to 5 years once you've created the value. Well, we're doing the same thing. So on these, you know, properties that we own and these wells and all of these assets, we're optimizing this. We're we're increasing the value. And then we can take, let's say we take 50 wells in a particular location, and then we can sell these to the bigger guys, ConocoPhillips, Exxon, and they love to buy these assets because for them, it's very cheap. We've done all of the exploration. You know, we've gotten to that PDP level, right, where it's proven, they're producing, and then they can just kind of access this and add it into their portfolio. So there's very good comps for that as well. So we feel very confident in terms of, you know, the projections that we're going to make. And, you know, in this current formation of the fund, investors will get a return of capital in only 7 to 10 months of their existing capital, and then continue to participate in the upside, which is only about a 24-month hold period at this point in time. And then another, you know, huge benefit, MC, you know, it's so great when I can bring opportunities to investors that, you know, really just change the whole trajectory, right, of Yep. their, you know, of their lives and really make a difference. So not only are we talking, you know, 20% cash flow, right, which is, you know, which is huge. We have a big over 3x multiple in 24 months, but it's that tax piece on the front end. And I know many people are either entrepreneurs, have a side hustle, you know, but they are deriving their income from W-2. And like I said, with oil and gas, you're able to take 100% of your investment and offset that against your, you know, AGI, you know, your total gross income, your W-2 income. So what that means is you can technically be reducing, you know, your tax liability, depending on how much you invest, you could potentially bring it down to zero, right? So that is massive. And that will, you know, you'll see that benefit immediately in 2022. So for our investors, you know, who have a lot of income this year, looking to try to offset that, that's money right back into your pocket that you can use into, you know, investing further. So I like to think of it as like a trifecta, you know. You know, there's just three different dimensions of this investment. And then from a risk perspective, you know, it's like every time you start receiving that monthly passive income, you start reducing your risk, you know, more and more. We hit that first divestiture, which is scheduled in, like I said, about 9 months. You've got more risk off of the table. So, and then, you know, and then it's all just upside from there.
I want to take a moment to recognize one of our sponsors. One of the best cash flow niches might surprise you. It's the cash flow machine called Resort Hospitality. Our friends and partners, Melanie and Josh McCallan from Accountable Equity, are so prolific at creating cash flow for their investors that I had to include them twice in my book, The 21 Best Cash Flow Niches. Something that really impresses me about this dynamic group is that more than just creating cash flow with these historic trophy resort properties, they are also creating a powerful investor community with an accountable equity. Investors not only get to enjoy cash flow from beautiful resorts, but can enjoy the resorts and attend Learn and Grow investor summits where like-minded accredited investors gather to learn from keynote speakers, as well as get updates on their projects and meet the growing team that makes all of this possible. You can learn more how the asset class of resort hospitality is a great way to diversify your multifamily investments by downloading the ebook, The 10 Steps to Build Wealth with Resort Hospitality Assets at accountableequity.com, where most folks invest just in one dimension, and that's it. You know, they either buy something, as I mentioned earlier, hope it goes up in value like a trader, and then sell it, and that's it. There's only a benefit maybe in the profit that you generated there, but there's nothing more. When you step away and you think big picture and you look at the different dimensions as an investor, which you perfectly summarized, you'll see that, oh, well, I get to invest in this as an investor. It produces cash flow. It has great tax benefits and can reduce your taxes legally. It then also provides a massive opportunity to participate in the upside appreciation of the asset which you invested in. And I would also say the fourth dimension is you're leveraging the unique ability, the skill set, the expertise of the operator and their teams, and of course, you know, their capital as well.
Yeah, absolutely, MC. And just to kind of expand on your notion there, which I think is great, right? You could maybe even add another dimension, right? We're sitting here recording this and, you know, S&P, NASDAQ down, what, maybe 15% year to date. You know, last year we saw the precipitous drop by 30% when the, you know, pandemic hit. And, you know, I think Wall Street has really conditioned all of us to be thinking that, look, it's just a one-dimensional return. You know, maybe you get 7%, maybe you can get 9%, but they're really banking on the fact that stocks are going to only do one thing, which is go up. Right. And in reality, they can go sideways. They can actually go down as well. But in this case, right, you get this trifecta, right? You get all of these things that are coming to bear for you. And in addition to that, this is all completely non-correlated to the market, right?
Right.
With very strong supply and demand, right? So this is how the ultra wealthy have been making their money for many, many years, right? It's just that people haven't had the knowledge to really understand some of these alternative assets, or they haven't been able to get access to that.
Yeah, that's it. And that's why I love having these conversations and talking about these ideas and strategies and different ways to look at things. I speak to a lot of folks in our community too. And, you know, folks would be a little doomy and gloomy about energy prices and inflation and so forth. What if you could position yourself to benefit from all of this? You know,
right,
that's a completely different way of looking
at it. Imagine that. Yeah, no, absolutely, MC. And, you know, just to speak of the team, the CEO is a fourth generation oil guy. He's been in oil and gas his entire life. The CFO of the company was actually an IRS agent, a very high high level agent for many years. So clearly understands, you know, how the tax code works and how all of the credits, you know, come back to individuals. And we've been, you know, vetting this operator, really, you know, relationship began through a family office mastermind, and have been vetting them for about a year. And it's just been, you know, nothing but a pleasure working with the executive team, the communications. You know, we've been involved in many, many types of deals and projects across industries, but, you know, communications is really top notch. Every few weeks we have, you know, communications as to what's going on in the ground, what's going on in the industry, all of those types of updates so people can feel comfortable with their thing. We've even offered that anyone who invests over 500K, we can actually go out in the corporate jet out to one of these facilities in Texas and check out one of the facilities, which I think is awesome. You know, it's another thing about investing in these, you know, tangible assets, you know, is that you can touch them, you can feel them, you can see them, right? Unlike, you know, the market, right? In paper assets.
Yeah. And actually, I want to touch on that quick. You know, there was a report written by a gentleman called Zoltan Polsner. And he wrote it for Credit Suisse called Bretton Woods 3. And I've talked about it on the show once. But essentially, this was a private report sent to high net worth clients of Credit Suisse of what's happening around the world, what's going on, you know, in the markets that they're invested in, and also opportunities for the future. So one of the things that you just mentioned is physical things, commodities, things that you can physically touch, that actually brought the idea that I just wanted to share with folks. In the Bretton Woods 3, he talks about the world monetary system and financial system changing. And he talks about inside money and outside money. And he shared that the world essentially was on, as he calls it, outside money, kind of commodity-based backed money systems, you know, up until 1971, essentially, when Nixon closed the gold window on August 15th, and countries around the world could no longer convert the U.S. dollars, which they held as reserves because it's the reserve currency, into gold. And then it kind of switched in 1971, and then through the petrodollar becoming established in around 1973, it switched to an inside money, inside world of counterparty risk money. So it went from outside money, commodity-based backed money and financial instruments, to inside money, which is counterparty risk monetary instruments. And what he was sharing is that how they're looking at it is, because of all of these countries essentially around the world, pick your country, pick your central bank, they've all increased their currencies so much that a lot of people around the world have started to lose trust in the inside money, which is the counterparty risk money, and they're switching back to the outside money, which is the sort of commodity-based monetary systems, if you will. So how can investors benefit from this? You know, one of the solutions that he shared was physical things, you know, gold, silver, hard assets such as real estate, land, oil, commodities, agricultural commodities, that type of stuff. So I also thought that that was, just a fascinating kind of take of identifying, hey, here's where we are. Here's the challenges that we're seeing, but here's some of the solutions. And it kind of plays into what we've talked about on this episode as well, of how you can position yourself to be on the right side of these massive trends that are currently taking shape and form and changing. And then also the distortions in the marketplace, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really fascinating, MC.
Yeah. So, for folks that are interested to learn more about this opportunity and what you do at Pantheon Investments, we actually set up a page so they can go directly to it. It's cashflowninja.com/Pantheon. That's PANTHEON. So I'm spelling that because if I had to listen to the show and you just said cashflowninja.com/Pantheon, I'd be like, oh, I probably misspell it a couple of times before I get to the right page.
It's that funny accent you have.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. But that'll take you to a page where you can essentially reach out to Dave and his team to learn more and acquire more about this opportunity and how to position yourself as an investor for a massive asymmetric opportunity. Be on the right side of this and do not get caught on the wrong side of high energy costs and inflation like everyone else. I want to recognize one of our sponsors. Have you ever felt like a lone wolf in life, unable to engage in chats around the barbecue since you're doing things that aren't the norm? Enter GoBundance, a place where driven entrepreneurs, CEOs, or investors who are beginning to experience an interesting phenomenon with more success in life, the feeling of a gap forming between ourselves and many of the people around us. One day, we wake up and find ourselves surrounded by people who may no longer see the world the same way we do. As the trend continues, we become more isolated and even find ourselves holding back from talking about things we are most excited about with friends, family, or coworkers. GoBundance was created for those who choose to live bigger and more fulfilled lives of impact. This tribe is for men and women who want to experience world-class adventure, bucket list trips, high-minded conversations, authentic relationships, and an environment to learn and grow with like-minded people. GoBundance is a tribe where you are able to share your successes, struggles, ambitions, and failures without being judged. It's a framework to strengthen your journey in becoming a better man, husband, father, friend, and entrepreneur. It is the place men come together to live epic lives and to grab life big. If you want to learn more, go to GoBundance.com and hit the apply button to join the tribe and tell them the Cashflow Ninja sent you.
Where, Dave, so another question, this is fascinating, and I always appreciate what you're studying and learning. So you've obviously just, you know, deep dived into this oil and gas niche. What are some of the other things that you're learning and studying?
Well, I'm actually just read Tom Wheelwright's latest book, which is The Win-Win Wealth Strategy, and a little bit similar to your 21 cash flow niches. He talks about six investment opportunities, right, that are the most tax advantaged for ultra wealthy. Going back to that, you know, the cash flow quadrant from Robert Kiyosaki, to be, if you're a business owner, an investor, you know, what are the most advantageous investments to get into? Energy, oil and gas, obviously that is one of them. Real estate is another. But I've been studying that, his latest book.
I have to say, if you have not read Tax Free Wealth by Tom Wheelwright, we've read that book multiple times, you and I, and we've had conversations actually about it. And it, you know, here's another thing. I never thought I'd be so excited and talk so with so much enthusiasm about taxes.
Talk about taxes, right? Yeah. I mean, look, I mean, you know, another part about building wealth, I think people don't really focus on, right, is, you know, what are the top three wealth destroyers? Number one, it's taxes. It's the biggest expense on your, you know, on your line item on your balance sheet and income statement, right?
Yep.
So how can you actually try to mitigate those? And the way to do that, you can actually get to a tax rate of zero. And there are many investors who have achieved that. But you have to put together a proactive strategy to get there and look at, you know, it involves, you know, certain asset classes such as this.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that just brings it, I think it summarizes it really, really well. Again, if you're only seeing one thing and only focus on one thing in one dimension as an investor, you're going to be punished, because that's essentially what the, you know, as Tom Wheelwright says, that's essentially what the tax code is, the rule book of this game of capital and wealth. And if you don't play by the rules, or you neglect to see some of the rules that are out there and just follow some of them, you're going to get punished just like you do in any other game that you're playing.
Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely. Dave, where can folks learn more about you and what you do at Pantheon Investments? I know you've got a ton of resources, and maybe you just wanted to share your podcast again one more time. It's one of the podcasts that I listen to, so I would highly recommend all of our listeners and viewers to check out your podcast as well.
Yeah, appreciate that, MC. So our podcast is Wealth Strategy Secrets of the Ultra Wealthy. So you can find us on, you know, iTunes, Spotify, anything there. If you want to check out our website, it's pantheoninvest.com. You can sign up if you want to join our investor community. We do have a series page of resources that we put out. We actually have a library of sources that you can, you know, read, get smarter. It's really all, for us, it's all about educating folks and learning about some of these, you know, alternative assets, as well as alternative strategy, right, in terms of wealth building.
Yeah, and I would also recommend, Dave has got a great resource too. He talks about a holistic wealth strategy, which is fantastic. It brings it all together, what we've talked about today. Always appreciate you coming on the show, my friend. Thank you so much again for spending some time with me and sharing your insight and your knowledge around this asset class, and just providing so much value to all of my listeners and my viewers.
Thanks, MC. Really appreciate the opportunity. Great to connect with everyone.
Thank you to all of our listeners and our viewers for spending most valuable resource, your time, once again with me on the show. Everything Cashflow Ninja is at cashflowninja.com, and you could sign up for our newsletter at cashflowninja.com/subscribe. Until next time, live infinitely.
This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives. situation and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.